at the time of the
right now. Dear leader, El Presidente, Herr Fuhrer, go back to Hawaii, continue with your vacation, keep eating the shrimp and the lobster, don't worry, because the Republicans are now literally committing political harry-carry right in front of us. We got this thing back. We got this thing in the bag. They're probably popping champagne corks right now in the White House. So the real winner in my eyes last night has been Barack Obama and the liberal regime. And the question I have for you is, who do you think was the real winner? 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Yesterday, Dr. Savage talked about how he felt what it must have been like and how he could sympathize being almost like a slave, four-fifths of a man, observing the craziness around him, observing the entire Iowa caucuses, and how he and many people like him, members of the Savage Nation, are voiceless, almost powerless, as this insanity rages all around them. Here was Dr. Savage in his own words. Boys, roll the clip.
What bothers me the most is that I'm sitting here as though I'm not an American citizen. I feel as though I've lost my citizenship watching this. Who made a bunch of farmers in Iowa whole citizens? What am I, four-fifths a man? I feel as though I'm living in the antebellum South. I feel as though I'm a slave looking in on the master and watching him vote. What is this? What kind of country am I living in? What am I, four-fifths a man? A bunch of farmers in Iowa get to tell me who my candidate is going to be as a Republican? What country am I living in? Who devised this crazy system? It's not in the Constitution.
He's completely right. And in fact, that's exactly what I told my wife last night. I'm up watching the results. I see Rick Santorum comes in a very close second. And I'm looking at Romney, Santorum, Gingrich, Perry. I'm looking at all these people. And I'm asking myself, where was it carved in stone that Iowa had to be first? Where was it carved in stone that Iowa had to set the presidential cycle? Where was it carved in stone that somehow Iowa would winnow out the candidates and pretty much decide who our nominee is going to be? This little state, which, as Dr. Savage is a rural state, it's full of farmers, it's overwhelmingly white, it certainly is not demographically representative of the United States in any way, shape, or form. Is this part of the Ten Commandments? Did this come out of the burning bush that suddenly God decreed to Moses that Iowa must be the first state in the Union to vote? What is happening to this country that we are living in this antiquated, ancient, decrepit political system where we have all of these non-entities, these non-political leaders who now are going to be chosen for us to be our nominee to face this Marxist, this socialist, this wannabe dictator in the White House? My friends, what you saw last night was the beginning of the end of the Republican Party. You are now seeing a civil war being unleashed, just as the liberal media wanted, just as the Democratic Obama White House wanted, and now you have every single one of these Republican candidates destroying one another, attacking one another, cutting one another up. It doesn't even matter who wins. By the time this process is over with, they will have zero credibility. They will have no money left. Obama will be standing right there, ready to finish them off. My friends, Obama won last night. Who do you think won? 1-800-449-8255. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage, on A Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest on the election results and other must-read sizzling stories. Before I go to the phones, have you noticed over the last couple of weeks, the media has been having a field day quoting Gingrich attacking Romney, quoting the super PACs going after Gingrich, talking about Santorum surging, Perry and Bachman collapsing, Ron Paul attacking all of the major establishment candidates. And the spotlight has been off the dear leader. And as everybody has been focused on this bloodbath, on this political cage fighting that's been taking place, what has Obama done? He is slowly implementing a creeping dictatorship in America. One of the most dangerous laws ever passed in American history, and that Dr. Savage has rightly warned us against, was his new law authorizing the indefinite detention of American citizens. Now just stand back and think about this. This law gives President Obama and any future president the authority and power, the unconstitutional authority and power, to indefinitely detain any American citizen on American soil that Obama and his Justice Department or his CIA deems to be a threat to national security or somehow aiding and abetting terrorism in any way, shape, or form. In other words, you oppose the war in Libya. Who knows? Maybe you're aiding and abetting terrorists. This is how loosely and vaguely defined this law is. That means you don't have a right to have a charge against you, be made against you. You don't have a right to a lawyer. You don't have a right to due process. This is a dictatorship. Who are we kidding? Just today, against the express will of the Senate, violating our checks and balances, Obama has now said he is going to appoint a former Ohio Attorney General to this new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is essentially, he's creating a business czar, a czar to oversee and basically regulate and control businesses all across America. And so the Republicans have been saying, well, no, this Consumer Protection Bureau, Financial Protection Bureau, its powers are too big, too sweeping, too intrusive. They're going to smash business. They're going to impose massive costs. Unless you change this, we can't approve any czar, any supposed consumer czar. And while the Senate was not even properly in recess, he appoints this man against the express will of the Senate. This is unconstitutional. This is now, you are now seeing a dictatorship in front of our very eyes. But you're not getting coverage of any of these issues, because all the media wants you to focus on is the destruction of these Republican candidates. 1-800-449-8255. Ralph in New York, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeff, where else but in Iowa could a Rick Santorum, who is definitely a non-entity, who should be inconsequential, where could he gain so much traction and lose by 8 votes? Nowhere else but in Iowa, where you have he's running on moral issues, which really, you know, frankly, although I believe in a lot of what he says. It's not the time nor place for anything like that. He's barking up the wrong tree, if you will. You know, he says his first act will be to reform Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Jeff. That's not what we want to hear. You know, I understand that many people, it's a very split issue. This, you know, Obama comes out the victor. You are so on point with that. I mean, that's we are backbiting. We've never, not one of these people have ever gained any traction within all of these months, Jeff. And we're at square one, and here we are, a mere what is it now? 10 months from the election.
10 months away. I mean, look, he's in the catbird seat. Look at him. I've never seen Obama look better. He's had a nice vacation. He just came back. The media's in his pocket. His enemies are destroying themselves right in front of his very eyes. He's now usurping powers no president has ever usurped. He's not. He can throw you and me in jail if he feels like it. That's the power. He just gave that to himself. And what are the Republicans? Who do these hicks in Iowa, these farmers in Iowa, these corn farmers, who do they put up for us? Rick Santorum? I have covered Rick Santorum. I know people on Santorum's staff. Let me tell you, Rick Santorum. Let me tell you what now. No, by the way, have you noticed the mainstream media? Oh, they love Rick Santorum. Oh, do they love? When is the last time they loved a religious conservative? When was the last time they loved a pro-lifer? But they love him now because they know that Obama is going to eviscerate him. He's going to tear him limb from limb. This guy is Mr. Pork Barrel. This guy brought back so much pork barrel projects, so much bacon back to Pennsylvania when he was the senator and before that the congressman. I think the arteries of people in Pennsylvania are all clogged up. There's got to be heart attacks up and down that state. It's unbelievable how much pork he brought back. He supported No Child Left Behind. He supported the prescription drug benefit. In 2004, I remember this because I covered this race very closely for the Washington Times, when conservative grassroots activists were begging the Republican establishment to support Pat Toomey in his primary run against the liberal Arlen Specter, the pro-choice, pro-gay rights, basically a Democrat, a rhino. You want to talk about the ultimate rhino? It was good time Arlen. What did Rick Santorum do? He backed Arlen Specter against Pat Toomey. I could go on and on about this guy. What he has been running for and what Iowa gave him was a talk show on Fox News. I know this for a fact. He has been running. He told his key staff people, I am running in 2012 to get a job on Fox the way Mike Huckabee did in 2008. You know what the farmers in Iowa are good for? They're good for getting somebody a job on Fox. They did that for Mike Huckabee in 2008. Nice gig on Fox. Now they just did it for Good Rick. You got a nationally syndicated radio show? You want to go into television, my friend? Let me tell you how to do it. Set up shop in Iowa for 2016. Go out there and campaign. Town hall meeting after town hall meeting. Promise them whatever you want to promise them. Whether you have political experience or not, it doesn't matter. Because you're going to do well in Iowa, trust me. And then Roger Ailes is going to call you up and give you a multi-million-dollar show on Fox. That's what all Iowa's good for, is giving people shows on Fox. That's it. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. Randy in Sacramento, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. That soundbite from Newt where he answered a question with a direct answer. Yeah, he's a liar. He lied about my campaign. He lied about me. He's a liar. That's one of the most refreshing sound bites I've heard.
And Randy, let me ask you this. What exactly, because Newt keeps saying that, but he doesn't give specifics. He's been saying it all day today. Mitt's a liar. Mitt lied. Mitt's a liar. What did those super PACs say about Gingrich that was a lie? Where did Romney lie about Gingrich's record?
I don't know specifically. I haven't followed it that close.
Well, there you go. So how can you say it's refreshing? You don't even know what would lie if there was a lie.
Because you never hear a politician answer a question like that directly, especially one.
What are you talking about? He's just throwing mud.
You're like that.
Let me ask you this: how come when Gingrich is asked about Freddie Mac, he can't give us a straight answer? First, it was $300,000 he took. Then it was $1.6 million he took. Then it really wasn't that bad that he took the money. Well, maybe it was bad that he took the money. You ask about the individual health care mandate. Did you support it? Well, the Heritage Foundation supported it. I didn't ask about the Heritage Foundation. I asked whether you supported it. So did he support the mandate? Yes. Did he support man-made global warming? Yes. Did he take money from Freddie Mac? Yes. Did he support the Medicare prescription drug benefit? Yes. Was he lobbying on behalf of his pharmaceutical friends to get the Medicare prescription drug benefit passed? You better believe it. He went straight to the Wall Street Journal editorial board. Now, who does this? Even the Wall Street Journal commented. He comes to our offices out of the blue, uninvited, to lobby us to endorse a huge expansion of the welfare state through this Medicare prescription drug benefit under George Bush. Out of the blue. But he got $37 million from his pharmaceutical friends to do that. So he's in the pay of Washington. He's the consummate Washington insider. He's as corrupt as they come. And then he comes across and tells us, oh, you want fundamental change? You want real grassroots change? You want the Tea Party champion? You want the guy that's going to shake up Washington, the insurgent? It's me. Well, hold on. You've been prostituting yourself and pimping yourself for 30 years now. And all of a sudden now you're going to tell me that you're the biggest virgin in the room? I'm sorry. Don't pee on my back and call it rain. Let's go to Bev in Michigan. Bev, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, you're welcome. I just wanted to make the comment. You were asking who's the winner last night. I definitely think it was Mitt, only because of Newt's behavior, like you were talking with this liar comment, you know, giving the Dems a commercial. You know, when first Newt announced he was going to run, and you've seen all these senators and Congress people that have worked with him say he's a self-promoter, he's always about me, numero uno, and he's not a team player. And, you know, I think all those congressmen, you're seeing now why they did not want him in there, because he'll do whatever's necessary about just him. He should have been smart enough to know that I'm going to make this comment and they're going to use this as a commercial, like you said later about Romney. You know, when Romney's asked about people like Santorum, he'll say, well, you know, Santorum, he's a good guy and all. You don't really see him doing this kind of stuff. Yeah,
because commercials. No, you're right, Bev. And the reason why is this, is because Romney has serious executive experience. Look, I'm not a big fan of Romney philosophically. I am a conservative nationalist. Romney clearly is a technocrat. He's an expert. He's a pro-business turnaround guy. However, he knows what it takes to govern. You have to bring people together in a political party. You have to bring people to the table, and you don't do it by spitting in their face. And so what Gingrich could have done was easily just said, you know what? I lost round one. Romney ran a good campaign. He hit me very hard. And now I'm going to contrast my record with his, and I'm going to fight him in New Hampshire and fight him in South Carolina. And everybody would have said, good for you, Newt. But instead, he's like a crybaby. He's like a spoiled crybaby. And so now it's just scorched earth. He's like a child. If I can't have it, then you're not going to have it. And consequences be damned. And that's the thing about Gingrich. And this is what Dr. Savage was dead on. It's what he and I were warning about again and again. This man destroys. He destroyed the Republican Party in the 1990s. He has destroyed the conservative movement. His own colleagues can't stand him. He has destroyed marriages. He has destroyed families. Newt, in the end, thinks that the entire world revolves around him. Well, it doesn't. And his ego can't handle the fact that he got 13% of the vote. Well, I have news for him. America can function without him. He's not, as he claims, Churchill. Who says that? Who walks around at the age of 68 with the failures and that this man has had and goes around and says he's Churchill, he's De Gaulle, he's Lincoln, he's Reagan, and he's Thatcher all in one? The man's ego, it's boundless. So now what he's basically telling us is this: I am willing to destroy this party and throw so much mud at Mitt Romney and make baseless charge after baseless charge. And even if it means Obama getting in the White House, I don't care. That's the kind of man Newt Gingrich is. He is promiscuous politically, in policy, in everything that he does, just as promiscuous as he is personally. It's why I never liked him. It's why I didn't support him. And it's why, frankly, I'm very happy to see that this man is slowly fading off the stage. The sooner he gets lost, the better. 1-800-449-8255. Who do you think was the big winner last night? Obama, Paul, Santorum, Romney. I want to hear from you. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on A Savage Nation.
Savage.
We don't know what the final vote tally is going to be, but congratulations to Rick Santorum. This has been a great victory for him and for his effort. He's worked very hard in Iowa. We also feel it's been a great victory for us here, for Ron Paul as well. Ron Paul's had a great night.
Game on.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Fran in New York, you're on the air, Fran.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. Listen, Hillary beat up Obama for 6 months back in, you know, until he got the nomination June of 08. Listen, we cannot give Obama four more years. The Muslim Brotherhood is going to start a war with Israel. Iran will get the nukes. I mean, this man is dangerous. I will vote for anybody but Obama, from Gingrich to Mitt Romney. And listen, Obama never wins with these caucuses because we get our message out, the Republicans. In comparison, we're not disarray.
Fran, let me ask you this, though. By the way, I agree with you. I think anybody, any one of those candidates is better than Barack Obama. To me, that's hands down. However, Hillary never called Obama a liar. Hillary never said that if Obama wins, the John McCain will win the election. In other words, Hillary never so destroyed and eviscerated Obama that he could not be a good effective nominee. This is essentially now what the Republicans are doing to one another. In other words, the Democrats, frankly, like most leftists, are more disciplined. They have more team spirit. They have a deeper hunger for power, and they're willing to not cannibalize each other as much as the Republicans are. So to me, the fact that Hillary ran a tough campaign against Obama, if these guys want to run a tough campaign, that's fantastic. But now the insults are just flying. All they're doing now is tearing each other down. As for us getting our message out, I don't see us criticizing Obama. I don't see anybody going after Obama's economic record. I don't see anybody mentioning the indefinite detention of American citizens. I don't see any of the, I don't see them going after Obama's failed foreign policy. Instead, now what more is happening is Mitt is the Massachusetts moderate. Mitt is a bland, boring politician, according now to Rick Santorum. Suddenly he's bland and boring. But 4 years ago, Santorum endorsed Romney. So was he bland and boring then, or is he just bland and boring now? So all they're doing now is just literally cutting each other's throats. That's all the message the electorate is getting. And they're seeing a Republican Party in disarray. And the only person that's really winning, the only person that's laughing in the sidelines, and you can even tell, look at his body language. Look at him. Remember November 2010. Just put your head back, roll your mind back 1 year or whatever, 13 months ago. Look at how Obama was then. He looked deflated. He looked beaten. He knew the country was rising up against him. Look at him now. He's got his stride back. He's got his swagger back. He's looking fit. He's looking fantastic. He's coming into the election campaign because he knows now, no matter who the Republicans nominate, whether it be one of their top-tier guys like Romney or Gingrich or Ron Paul even, they're going to be so wounded he can crush him. Or it'll be a non-entity like Santorum. Santorum is like a lightweight going against a heavyweight. This is why, have you noticed, the mainstream media is jubilant. I have never seen Anderson Cooper this happy. I have never seen David Gregory on Meet the Mess and Meet the Depressed more happy. My friends, the liberal media is laughing at us. We'll have this and so much more. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in him for the Savage Nation. Stay tuned, 1-800-449-8255.
Savage. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is off tonight. He will be back tomorrow, re-energized, guns blazing, and ready to go. Go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest must-read stories on the Iowa caucuses, on the elections, on what's going to happen in New Hampshire, and on all the national and international news you cannot get anywhere else. Members of the Savage Nation, if you've noticed, over the last couple weeks in particular, the media has had an absolute feeding frenzy over the Iowa caucuses. You would think that this is the most important vote in the history of the United States. You would think that what's happening in Iowa is of such seismic importance that it pales in comparison to anything else that's going on in the country or around the world. Wall-to-wall coverage on the cable TV channels, Fox, MS Left BC, the Clinton News Network, CNN, it doesn't matter where you go. It's wall-to-wall with all of these phony political experts coming out and ad nauseum going on. This guy needs to do this. This person needs to do that. This person's got to raise this X amount of dollars. On and on. All this sound and fury signifying nothing. Yet what has been the real motivation and agenda behind this? Why are the liberals in the media so determined to focus on this inconsequential little state and this small Iowa caucus election? Most people don't even know this, but after all of this talk, months and months, debates, post-debate analysis, constant shows, constant interviews, how many people actually showed up to vote? 120,000. That's it. Not 1 million, not 2 million, not even 500,000. 120,000. In a nation of 308 million people. And this is what the media wants you to focus on. Why? Why? Because as you remain focused on Iowa, as they encourage these candidates to go after one another and tear each other apart, they don't want you to see what's happening behind the scenes. That while Obama was supposedly vacationing in Hawaii, our Hugo Chavez, our Marxist in chief, as Dr. Savage so eloquently put it, Obama the destroyer, was now destroying our civil liberties and our very constitutional way of life, our very constitutional government. He passed a law which enables the American government, under the orders of the President of the United States, to detain indefinitely 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, any American citizen on American soil. If the president suspects that person of being a national security risk or somehow being sympathetic to or aiding or abetting terrorist groups. That vague definition of what is considered aiding and abetting or a national security risk. No charges can be filed against you. You're just held in prison. You don't even have access to a lawyer or to attorney. You have no due process rights. How is this different from Chavez's Venezuela? How is this different from Castro's Cuba? They don't like your opinions. They claim it to be a threat to the state. They just grab you, haul you in, and toss you in prison. No trial, no lawyer, no civil liberties, no legal protections, nothing. This was passed in the dark of night with Obama's signature? Where were the Republicans? Tell me, if all these supposed tough guy Republicans out there like Newt Gingrich and now Rick Santorum, how come they're not mentioning the indefinite detention of American citizens? Where's Romney? Where's Gingrich? Where's Santorum? No, 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 no. They're too busy. They're too busy now tearing each other apart rather than going after the real enemy, Obama. He now has just made a recess appointment of Richard Cordray, former Ohio Attorney General, a radical leftist, to head the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, another agency that will now completely intervene and regulate large aspects of businesses and corporations all across America. He's a consumer czar with almost unlimited powers. He's just appointed three more people to the National Labor Relations Board to put even more weight on businesses, to crush even more businesses, to prevent even in the future more companies like Boeing from building plants in right-to-work states like South Carolina. This man is amassing constitutional powers to himself that he has no business getting. He is circumventing Congress. He is violating our checks and balances. He is behaving like a dictator. And as this is going on, Iran is acquiring the bomb. They are now on the verge of getting the bomb. They are printing more money. Inflation is rising. Unemployment is going to continue to go up. This country is being systematically destroyed. But you won't hear any of that from the mainstream media, because after everything is said and done, this was such an important, all-important election. For Anderson Cooper with the silver hair, no, no, this is the election of all elections. It's Iowa. It's all or nothing in Iowa. Okay, so it's all or nothing in Iowa, right? This is not what they're telling us. So is there brilliant analysis? Are these guys just chomping at the bit to give us a brilliant play-by-play of this election? This, my friends, are the mandarins in the liberal media that are cheerleading Barack Obama. This is now the caliber of most journalists in America today. You want to see a fiasco? Look at these guys. Look at these guys on election night. Boys, roll the clip.
Back to you and Anderson. We will do a little reverse fleck.
Okay, let's do that.
Ooh.
Oh. No.
Or maybe not.
Oh, are you kidding? No. I'm going to do my reverse fleck and fail? Oh, hold on. No, one more try. One more try.
Oh.
The backhanded.
This is.
Here we
okay,
go.
All right. Ready, Wolf?
I'm
are you
watching.
Ready?
I'm watching. Yes.
Yes, very good.
Third time is a charm. Third time is a charm. Excellent flicking going on over there.
It was the screen's fault. It was not Aaron.
Yeah, not operator error. All right, Anderson.
All right, let's go to Anderson right now. Anderson, you're with Allie.
Don't ask me to flick it.
Have we all just given up? Is it like, is it just like 1:30 and everyone's like, why don't you flick it? Can you flick this?
I can flick. I will tell you. I will tell you. It's evident. It's evident from the social media screen here that people are going to sleep because it's the first time.
The social media screen again with the social media screen. My lord.
My lord. My lord. Social media screen. My lord. My lord. These are the geniuses of the mainstream press. So it's election night. Biggest election. Big election. Iowa. Iowa decides everything. 120,000 farmers. They get to decide now who's going to be our next president. But they're playing with the screen. Oh, it's not on. It's off. It's on. It's off. Anderson, help me. Anderson. This is our great media, my friends. Now, I was clicking all of them. I was watching Fox. They had nothing to say. After a while, what is there to say? That they keep going on and on about when is the tally going to come in? When's the final box is going to come in? Who's going to actually win this thing? And then I look at MSLFBC. And I see the non-reverend Al Sharpton. I see Larry O'Donnell. I see all of these leftists at MSLFBC. And even if you notice on this clip with CNN, They're practically drunk with happiness. They're giddy. Look at them. Because they got what they wanted. Doesn't want to get pregnant? She looked pregnant last night. She was glowing. She was going like a pregnant woman. They all looked pregnant. I thought Al Sharpton was going to have a baby last night. They're glowing. They're happy. They've never been this happy. They're looking at this and they're saying, look at these idiot Republicans. They're destroying one another. Gingrich is finished. Romney's now being cut to pieces. Perry's fallen off. Bachman's going to step out. Ron Paul is Ron Paul. We know we can handle Ron Paul. And they're going to give us Rick Santorum on a silver platter? This is the guy the farmers in Iowa gave us to run against our guy in the White House? These guys, you can see them. They're partying it up. This is the mother of all Christmas gifts. They can't contain themselves. That's how happy and giddy they are. So I look at these liberals in the media, and I have to ask myself, this is the press corps of the United States that is supposed to hold politicians accountable? That is supposed to hold this criminal gangster regime accountable? When in fact all they're doing is creating a circus atmosphere? Smoke and mirrors? Bread and circus? To distract the masses from what is really going on? Nothing on the indefinite detention of American citizens? Can you imagine if George Bush signed that law? Can you just imagine that? Oh my God, there'd be bloody murder. I think Anderson Cooper would get a heart attack on there. He wouldn't be laughing. He wouldn't be giggling. I think Anderson Cooper would have to be rushed out to the hospital if that was signed by George Bush over the holidays. When it comes to the dear leader, no problem. My friends, Obama is erecting a socialist dictatorship right in front of our very eyes. And rather than patriots of this country banding together and unifying to get the strongest possible candidate to stop this man dead in his tracks, we are destroying one another, and the liberals in the media are laughing at us. 1-800-449-8255. The question before the House is, what do you think is behind the media's attempt to solely focus on Iowa? Are they trying to distract us from something? And if so, what? This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on A Savage Nation. Savage. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Anne in Florida, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. I was going to answer your question. I believe it's important to focus on Iowa because I think it matters. I mean, may the best woman or best man win, and you have to do this cycle, this process to make it.
And let me ask you this. Why? I mean, I'm being very serious. Why Iowa? Why do we have to start with Iowa? Where is it said in the Constitution?
I don't know.
Did the clouds part? I mean, Anne, maybe you can tell me something I don't know. Did God tell you that somehow Iowa had to be first?
Well, no, I don't know why it's set up that way. But what I do know is that, you know, I'm a person that I love everyone. I believe we should vote for the best candidate. And I think the only way you can really determine who's the best candidate is go through the process. I remember watching the last election cycle where everyone was like, President Obama and Hillary Clinton, they're going to tear each other apart. You know, at the time he was a senator. But it didn't. I mean, it just ended out, you know, I don't think it's going to hurt the Republicans at all. You know, I don't believe in titles, but I do think that the best.
And let me ask you this. You don't think them calling each other liars, them calling each other corrupt, them calling each other bland, boring, them telling one another openly that if either one of them gets the nomination, they can't win? You don't think they're adding so much ammunition to the Obama camp? Hillary and Obama never tore each other apart like this.
Yeah.
What you are seeing, Anne, is the destruction of a political party. And the reason why they're destroying each other is because the narcissism, the celebrity culture, the cultural narcissism that the left has infected this nation with going back 40 years since the 1960s has now seeped into the Republican Party. And so what's more important is for these people to get their face on television and for them individually to win. And if they don't win, or if they don't get their face on television, or if they don't get their contract at Fox News, then the Republican Party and the country be damned. And to me, that's just unacceptable. But let me even make something even more provocative, Ann. Why not, why do this? I never understood this, frankly. You go to Iowa, then you go to New Hampshire, then you go to South Carolina, then you go to Florida. So you spend all this money, and you go state after state after state. And by the time you get to the really big states, California, Texas, or most states in the country, the vote has already been decided. So most Americans don't even have a say in who the nominee is. Why not just do it one day, one vote in all 50 states? Why not just say whatever, like yesterday, January 3rd or January 10th or whatever, you pick your day. On this day, we are going to hold a national Republican primary. Every registered Republican can vote in all 50 states for whoever candidate they think should lead the party. I think, would get rid of a lot of these charlatans, a lot of these political entrepreneurs who are just there to get a show for themselves. We could have 3, 4, or 5 serious, substantial debates like you do for the presidency. And then the nominees have to go raise serious money and go to the parts of the country that they think are more important, or go to every part of the country, and then everybody gets a say. But at this point, let's just say, Ann, you're in Florida. Let's say you're a Michelle Bachmann supporter. You can't vote for Michelle Bachmann. I like Michelle Bachmann. I happen to reside in Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C. I will not be able to cast a vote for Michelle Bachmann because Iowa knocked her out. So how is that fair? Should we have a national primary? Does Iowa have too much power? I want to hear from you. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Who do you believe won the Iowa caucuses last night? Who was the real winner in your eyes? I want to hear from you. Go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest on the national elections and international news. Must-read stories you cannot get anywhere else. Steve in New York, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks. Hey, Santorum won last night. He's a sign of hope for the country. We need to send Romney back to Massachusetts, and however Newt does that, I really don't care. Send him back.
Okay, now what makes you think that Santorum deserves to be the nominee of the Republican Party? What has he done that you think qualifies him to lead the party in the most important election in our lifetime?
I believe that the guy is sincere when he says he's going to stand against the killing of children in our country. We've killed over 50 million kids since 73. Romney stood by and allowed thousands of children to be killed in his state. You think he's going to be any better than Barack Obama? Not going to happen.
Do I think Romney is going to be better than Barack Obama? Yes.
Not going to be any better. It's going to be a little bit slower, but he's cut from the same cloth.
Look, Romney will do a couple of things, Steve. What he will do is he will repeal Obamacare. That will save this country from future bankruptcy, number one. Number two, he will unleash the animal spirits in the economy, restore economic growth, and basically save this country from an impending economic collapse. He's a turnaround specialist. He has turned around all sorts of failed companies. He will have to get the budget in order. He has the experience, the expertise, the background to do that. He will not allow Iran to get a nuclear bomb. He will stand up to our enemies abroad. And with a Republican House and a Republican Senate, he will have no choice but to nominate pro-life justices to the Supreme Court. Look, don't get me wrong, Steve. I am a devout Christian. I believe that abortion is genocide. I believe it is the Holocaust of our time. We have slaughtered 50 million unborn babies. When Rick Santorum talks about the dignity of human life and the dignity of all people, I agree with him. That's not the issue. You can be sincere. You can even be a nice guy. You can have a wonderful family. But that doesn't mean you're qualified to be president of the United States. Santorum has no executive experience. He hasn't run a thing. He hasn't run a state. He hasn't run a company. He hasn't run a corporation. He's run nothing. He served 2 terms in the Senate, and contrary to his claims, yes, he's rhetorically more conservative than Romney. I'll give you that. But look at his actual record. He supported Bush's No Child Left Behind. He supported the Medicare prescription drug benefit. If he's such a big pro-lifer, what the hell was he doing backing Specter against Batumi? So he talks a big game. He says he's some devout, principled, consistent conservative, but his actions are very different. You know what he is, essentially? He's a compassionate conservative. He's a Bush conservative. He's a big government conservative. Essentially, what Rick Santorum is offering us is, let's go back to the Bush years, where we had Karl Rove and Jack Abramoff and all this pork barrel spending that took place in the 1990s and the 2000s. And I didn't see Rick complain then. So this notion that somehow Santorum is the great conservative savior, I don't know how to break the news to you. This guy has got so many flaws and so many holes. The Obama camp are going to, they're going to drive a Mack truck through him. They're going to tear him apart. They're going to eviscerate him. This is why the media is so giddy. They're looking at us and they're saying, can the Republicans be so stupid? Can the people of Iowa be so stupid? The Iowa Republicans. This is the guy that you're ultimately going to send up against Obama and the Chicago corrupt machine?
Yes.
And lose?
Obama.
Send him up against Obama and lose. Because all you're going to get with Rick Santorum is about 30% of the vote. I don't know how to break the news to you. He can't run the economy. The American people know that. He hasn't run a business. He doesn't know how to run a government. They're going to look at him and say, here is a mediocre 2-term senator who, let me ask you this, he couldn't even win his own seat in 2006. If he can't even win his own Senate seat, what makes you think he can win a national election? I mean, Steve, think about it. So what conservatives are basically telling me is this, because we hate Romney so much, we're going to give the election to Obama. We're going to throw a no-namer, a C candidate, a BC, a D candidate, a fourth-ranked candidate. I mean, we're committing political suicide. For what? What principle do you think we're going to... Oh, we're going to show them. We showed the establishment. Damn it. They can't force Romney down our throats. Really? This election, mark my words, members of the Savage Nation, I am pleading with all of you. Look, if Rick Santorum's a nominee, I'm going to back Rick Santorum. Okay, my grandmother is better than Barack Obama. But we have been called, I believe, by destiny. This is our moment. Every generation has its moment to defend freedom. This election is going to decide the future of the United States, whether we will become a socialist European welfare state in which 4 years from now, you don't understand, in 4 years from now, if Obama is reelected, if the current trajectory continues, and it will, in terms of the spending, the deficits, and the debt, we are Greece. It's over. It doesn't matter who your favorite candidate is. Social conservative, libertarian, national security conservative, moderate conservative, we're going to be insolvent. The social safety net will be shredded. There will be no one to bail us out. So this election is the most important of our lifetime. We have to nominate and run somebody who can withstand the mainstream media, who can withstand the Democrats, who can withstand the Obama juggernaut. You don't just throw up anybody and say, oh, you know what? He sounds like a nice guy. Let's just throw him up there. We have to get somebody who's a winner, first and foremost, who will stop this dictator in the White House, or else all our gooses are cooked. And the guy that many believe is going to be this champion is not Rick Santorum. What people are really saying behind the scenes is, are conservatives and libertarians going to allow Ron Paul? Now, if we hint on the need for... But what is he going to do with the foreign threats? Specifically the Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad. Is he going to allow Iran to get a nuclear bomb? Because if Iran acquires the nuclear bomb, it will not only wipe Israel off the face of the earth and unleash a second Holocaust, it will trigger a regional nuclear war. The Israelis will not go down without a fight. And that, my friends, could lead to an apocalypse, literally to an Armageddon, to World War III. And so in the face of this growing cancer, like the late 1930s, of these Islamo-fascists in Tehran, literally sharpening the knife to slit the throats of the Jews, what does Ron Paul have to say? What he has to say is, let him get the bomb. What does he have to say about September 11? We had it coming. You know what? They wouldn't be here if we weren't over there. So, you know what? How would you like it if you were being bombed every day? So they don't like it that we bombed them over there in the Middle East. So you know what? That's why they're bombing us here. In other words, he's telling us that our mortal, radical Islamic enemies are justified to kill Americans. They're justified to wage jihad against us. This self-hating American is the other nominee that many in the grassroots are thinking of throwing up? Don't even take my word for it. Here's Ron Paul in his own words saying, you know what? We kind of had it coming on 9/11. Boys, roll the clip.
If you were to imagine for a moment how you would feel if another country forcibly occupied the United States, had military bases and armed soldiers present in our hometown, you might begin to understand why foreign occupation upsets people so much.
Really? So now we're occupiers. Let me get this. We've liberated 27 million Iraqis. We've liberated 23 million Afghans. We just went to war in Libya to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi. And we're the occupiers. American boys have died in Iraq and Afghanistan so they can hold elections. They can have a constitutional government. They can govern themselves. And we're the occupiers, according to Ron Paul? What planet is this man living on? This man is a self-hating American. And yet, when you go to these Ron Paul rallies, it might as well be going to Occupy Wall Street. You have these radical anti-American leftists who hate Israel, who hate the Jews, who hate our alliance with the Jews, who view the Palestinians as somehow being an occupied people, who sympathize with radical Islamists. This is the man that may lead the Republican Party? This is the so-called godfather of the Tea Party movement in America? Maybe we're going mad. Maybe this is a form of madness. I don't know. Maybe this is what happens in a decaying republic. Maybe this is what happens when you have a celebrity culture where you just allow anybody to run in your party and to run into your primaries. But my friends, Ron Paul is not the answer. And so the question I have for all of you is, why do you think Ron Paul did so surprisingly well in the caucuses? He got over 21%. He's poised to do well in New Hampshire. He is going to fight whoever the front runner is, whether it be Romney, Gingrich, or Santorum, all the way to the convention. Is Ron Paul a threat to the Republican Party? Is he good for the Republican Party? I want to hear from you. Jason in St. Louis, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on. Hey, a couple quick points, and then I'll be done. One, Obama was not the big winner last night, and I'll tell you why. And Ron Paul was the big winner last night, and I'll tell you why. And I haven't heard anybody make these 2 points in the media. One, Ron Paul is the big winner because when it's all said and done, people for Santorum, they'll go and support Romney if he's the nominee. People for Romney will support Santorum if he's the nominee. Supporters of Ron Paul will not support anybody else. So the path to the Republican nomination goes to Ron Paul. That's for start. And he only finished 3,200 votes behind out of 120,000. And the reason Barack Obama isn't the winner is if you were watching the coverage last night, all those young people supporting Dr. Paul, that demographic 21 to 29, that's not a new generation of kids. That's the same generation of kids that last time voted for Obama and realized they were fooled and they were duped. And so now they support Ron Paul. So if Obama's confident he's going to win, that's a misguided confidence. Oh, and
well,
Ron
Jason,
Paul spoke up again.
Jason, let me ask you this. No, I think you're right. I think a lot of these young people who backed Obama, many of them were anti-war leftists. They wanted him to pull out of Iraq, pull out of Afghanistan. They see what a warmonger he is. They see how he led that criminal, illegal, unconstitutional war in Libya. They see now how he's usurping more and more powers to himself. And I think they said, we got had, we got conned. But my question to you is a simple one. They don't need Ron Paul, Rick Santorum or Newt Gingrich or Mitt Romney. They don't need the Ron Paul vote. Ron Paul has about 20%. He may even get a bit more or a bit less. So whoever, they don't need a Ron Paul support to get the nomination. So they can get a majority on their own. That means Ron Paul can either stay in the Republican Party or he can go third party. If he goes third party, he's going to hand the election to Barack Obama. So I don't see how you see Ron Paul as the big kingmaker in the Republican Party. Basically, he's got only one play, which is give me Treasury Secretary and let me end and abolish the Fed, and I'll pledge my delegates and I'll pledge my supporters to you. Otherwise, he's just a spoiler. Otherwise, if he goes third party, he is going to give the election to Obama. You are going to see permanent socialism in America. You are going to see the welfare warfare state more entrenched than ever, and it will be a betrayal of everything Ron Paul has ever stood for.
Why those boys in Afghanistan and Iraq that you're talking about that have fought and died over there, how come active duty military give more money to Ron Paul than all the other candidates combined? If we want to support the troops, shouldn't we listen to them? And their money is saying, hey, we're tired of decades-long war around the world. If Iran is a danger of getting a nuclear
bomb. Jason, listen, I am sick of these decades-old wars myself. I am sick of what happened in Iraq and Afghanistan. We had no business being there for 10 years. We are not in the nation-building business. That's not the issue. Ron Paul on that, like Dr. Savage, is right. The bigger issue is this. Your candidate says that Iran should get the nuclear bomb. Now, I ask you this. If Iran gets the nuclear bomb and they will wipe Israel off the face of the earth and they will unleash World War III, you're going to tell me with a straight face you're okay with that? You're going to tell me with a straight face that we should have Ron Paul be the commander-in-chief of our country?
Well, first of all, he didn't say Iran should get the bomb. He said he understands why they would want it. And secondly, Israel...
Oh, so the mullahs deserve it, right? Is that it?
No.
This is my point. This is why this guy's not fit to be the president of the United States. He's a traitor. He's a self-hating American. He has excuses for all of our enemies to attack us, for all of our enemies to get weapons of mass destruction, and he will sell out our closest ally, Israel. I know guys like him. They were the appeasers of the 1930s. They were wrong then, and they're wrong now. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Here is Ron Paul on whether Iran should get nuclear weapons.
Just think of how many nuclear weapons surround Iran. The Chinese are there, the Indians are there, the Pakistanis are there, the Israelis are there, the United States is there, all these countries. China has nuclear weapons. Why wouldn't it be natural that they might want a weapon? There'd be, internationally, they'd be given more respect.
So here's Ron Paul essentially being Ahmadinejad's PR agent. He's essentially the PR agent for the mullahs. Hey, we surround it. We surround it. We must have bomb. And then used to destroy Israel and America. But Ron Paul, you come and you stay in Tehran. In Tehran, you stay. We make you president here in Tehran. This is the insanity of Ron Paul. The rebuttal to that question is simple, to that point. Iran has vowed to wipe Israel and America off the earth. They pledge martyrdom. They want Armageddon. That's why they can't have a nuclear bomb. But you see, Ron Paul can't see that. And I believe it was that comment in the debate that sealed Ron Paul's doom. It's why he didn't win Iowa. And I believe it is the key reason why he will never win the Republican nomination or the presidency. Let's go quickly. Matt in Virginia Beach. Go.
I just want to say that I think Ron Paul is coming out because, you know, a lot of Americans trust him. They really do. He's been saying the same thing for 20 years, and you have a very...
He has. The problem, Matt, is he's been saying the same thing like a broken record for 20 years. He hasn't changed his thinking. And I'll tell you this, on Iran, he's dead wrong. And this is why he will not win the nomination, nor should he. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Game on.
Let us restore the greatness of America and keep this land the hope of the earth. Thank you so much for all your help. On to New Hampshire. On to New Hampshire. Let's get that job done. Come visit us there. We got some work ahead. Thanks, you guys.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is off tonight. He'll be back tomorrow. Batteries recharged and ready to go. Go to michaelsavage.com for the latest must-read stories on the election, on the Iowa caucuses, on what's to come, and some of the other stories that the mainstream media will not and cannot cover because, frankly, they're in the tank for Obama. As I watched the election results last night, the question that kept coming to my mind is, why Rick Santorum? Of all the candidates out there, you had John Huntsman, you had Michelle Bachmann, you had Rick Perry, you had Newt Gingrich, you had Ron Paul, all of the non-Romney candidates, the anti-Mitt or non-Mitt candidates. Why Rick Santorum? Does he have special appeal? Is he like Romney, an attractive man? No. Is he a brilliant, cogent, articulate debater or public speaker, as, say, Newt Gingrich is? No. Has he been a governor of a major state, say, like Rick Perry has? No. So what is the appeal of Rick Santorum? Yes, he went to all 99 counties. He worked hard. Yes, he brought his family down to Iowa, basically put a pitched a stake in the ground and said, we're just going to go with a little pickup truck and we're just going to go town to town, cafe to cafe, town hall meeting, press some flesh, and basically tell them, I'm here, I'm relevant, I'm a social conservative, and I come from a blue-collar family. My grandfather was a miner. My father was a working-class guy. I come from Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a blue-collar, working-class state. If I won in Pennsylvania, I can win across the country. That's essentially, I've just given you Rick Santorum, in a nutshell. And as I'm watching him give his victory speech, the one thing my wife and I noticed right away is, outside of that game on comment, the rest of the speech was a complete yawner. Even the crowd wasn't enthusiastic. Even the crowd wasn't wildly cheering. He put the crowd to sleep. So what is it about Rick Santorum? People may say, well, he's a consistent, staunch, principled, pro-life conservative. Well, so was Michelle Bachmann. So what is it about Rick Santorum? I believe the only reason why he did as well as he did in Iowa, well, two reasons. One, he did work extremely hard. He ran a very good grassroots campaign. He just outworked, outsweated, outmuscled the other opponents. But the other, I think the major reason, is he was the last man standing. What you have seen for the last 6 to 8 months is the most volatile Republican electorate in living memory. You are seeing, for whatever reason, conservatives refusing to coalesce around Mitt Romney to the point that they utterly hate and despise him. And they have gone to every other possible candidate, any possible alternative to Mitt. They have gone to Michelle Bachmann. She rose, then she fell. Then when Perry entered the race, everybody anointed Perry as the conservative heir apparent. And then he just flamed out in debate after debate. Then they went to Mr. 999, Herman Cain. And then all of the accusations from all of these anonymous women, along with his, he couldn't recall the Libya war, his own mistakes, and then he eventually crashed and burned. And then it finally went down to Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich. And Newt Gingrich got exposed for the charlatan that he is in one ad after another. And when the electorate began to see just how inconsistent and unprincipled Gingrich has truly been, that his bark is a hell of a lot bigger than his bite, they said no. And then Ron Paul, who was surging going into December, in fact was leading at one point, then went on about how he couldn't care if Iran got a nuclear bomb. That in fact, according to his reasoning, and we played the tape, the audio just a while back, they're completely justified. Why shouldn't they have the nuclear bomb? They're the victims. They're surrounded. They're surrounded by China. They're surrounded by Pakistan. They're surrounded by India. They're surrounded by Israel. They're surrounded by America, as if China or Pakistan or India or Israel or America have vowed to wipe Iran off the map, as if Israel and America have said that that the Iranians are descendants of Jews and monkeys, of pigs and monkeys, forgive me, as the mullahs consistently teach and consistently advocate in Tehran, as if the Israelis and the Americans have been supporting one terrorist group after another to annihilate the state of Iran. So according to the warped mind of Dr. Paul, suddenly, no, the mullahs are justified in getting a nuclear bomb. The fact that it'll lead to a nuclear holocaust, who cares? That's not our problem. Come home, America. Come home. No more entangling alliances. Let's cut Israel loose. Let's cut the Jews loose. Boom. His momentum stopped dead at 21%. And so the last man standing, the guy nobody thought could get this far, the guy nobody even bothered to scrutinize his record or look at what he stood for, the guy who was always on the far left corner on the debate stage during the 12, 13, 14 debates the Republicans had. He's the guy that they say, well, you know what? We tried everybody else. Why not try him? Hey, let's vote for Rick. And this, to me, brings up, I think, the mother of all questions. Why are so many conservatives so dead set against Romney being the nominee? Don't get me wrong. I'm not a Romneyite. I'm not Gaga for Mitt. I'm not somebody as a conservative nationalist who probably agrees with Dr. Savage on like 99% of the issues. I don't look at somebody like Mitt Romney and say, oh, I see the second coming of Ronald Reagan. Oh, I see the avatar, the champion of the conservative movement. No, I know Mitt Romney. He's probably a liberal at heart. I believe that he's some kind of a centrist. I believe that fundamentally what Mitt is he is a socially liberal, pro-business, country club, Rockefeller Republican. That's Mitt Romney. Nothing sexy, nothing inspirational. He's not somebody who's part of the grassroots conservative movement. But did he cut taxes while he was governor of Massachusetts? Yes. Did he balance the budget while governor of Massachusetts? Yes. Has he turned around companies over 25 years? Yes. Does he have a lot of experience in the private sector? Yes. Unlike Obama, who wants to crush and destroy and nationalize and socialize the private sector and the free market economy, Romney's the exact opposite. He likes and champions the free market economy. He's a very good family man. He's been married to the same woman 42 years. They have 5 children. I can tell you this with unequivocal doubt. I'm sorry, unequivocally, with no doubt. Forgive me. Romney has no sexual or ethical skeletons in his closet. Frankly, and this may be politically incorrect to say it, but I'll say it anyway, like many Mormons, he's clean as a whistle. He believes in clean living. I've been to Utah. I have to tell you, I was stunned. It's very clean. Salt Lake City is an extremely clean city. Everything closes at 8, 9 o'clock. I mean, he doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He never did drugs. Unlike Barack Hussein Obama, he wasn't doing cocaine as a young man, as Obama admitted that he did in his own autobiography. He's not somebody who wants to destroy capitalism. In fact, he wants to unleash the private economy. He's somebody that has pledged to repeal Obamacare. I don't see, even with Romneycare, and I couldn't stand Romneycare, but even with Romneycare, it is the central plank of his campaign is to repeal and overturn Obamacare. If Romney breaks his promise and doesn't repeal it, it will smash his presidency right there, and then his first term will be over before it even begins. He knows that. Even on Romneycare, which I despise, Gingrich supported Romneycare in 2006. Rick Santorum supported the Medicare prescription drug benefit. Rick Santorum was running around saying how we need universal health care. So now all of a sudden, everybody was criticizing Romney for Romneycare from all these establishment conservative Republicans. Well, you guys liked Romneycare until you ran for president. In fact, Rick Santorum liked Romneycare and Romney so much, he endorsed Mitt Romney over John McCain in 2008. And he didn't just endorse him. He said he was the one. He was the conservative in the race in 2008. No, now he's a moderate. Now he's a liberal. So what I see among many conservatives is this. Romney talks like a moderate and is fundamentally a moderate. Center-leaning right. That's what he is. A pro-business Republican. Center-right. The other candidates, starting with Santorum and Gingrich, talk a good conservative game. But if you look at their record, they're just as centrist as he is. Their bark is bigger than their bite. But if you look at their actual bite, they're the same. Yet Romney has one big difference. He has run a state. He can appeal to independents. He can appeal to disaffected Democrats. Of all of those top three, he can actually beat Obama. And so the question I have for all of you is this. Why do conservatives despise Mitt Romney? And fundamentally, do you think it's irrational? Will it hand the election to Obama? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Newt Gingrich has now officially announced that he wants to form a coalition, an alliance with Rick Santorum to defeat and tear down Romney. Do you think this is going to help Newt? Do you think it's good for the Republican Party? You conservatives out there that hate Romney, is your opposition to Romney so intense that you are potentially willing to destroy the only candidate that may realistically defeat Obama in 2012? I want to hear from you. Do you back Newt on this, or do you disagree with him? 1-800-449-8255. Tom in New York, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Filling in for the Michael America Savage, that's red, white, and blue dynamite, baby.
Thanks, Tom. What's on your mind, my friend?
God bless you in 2012. Jeff, you surprised me on this one. I usually agree with you 95% of the time. Rick Santorum is a truly pro-life candidate. He has seven children. If you want to restore this nation to one nation under God, Rick Santorum is your man. Mitt Romney is a political hedge fund for Barack Obama. He's a cross between Howdy Doody and Mr. Rogers. If you want to avoid bankruptcy, Rick Santorum is the man. He promises to cut $1 trillion per annum out of our budget. If you want jobs back, Rick Santorum is the man. He's going to cut that corporate tax rate and bring the jobs back home to America. If you want to keep more of your money, Jeff Cooner, Rick Santorum is your man. It's going to be a simplified tax code, two tax rates, 10% for the people not earning money.
Tom, have you signed up for his campaign? You sound like a campaign spokesman.
No.
Look, I hear you, Tom. Look, let me full disclosure, and I have to say this. I, in fact, have been at numerous Tea Party rallies with Rick Santorum. We've, in fact, spoken at the exact same rallies. I am a Catholic. I am a pro-life, Orthodox, traditional Catholic. I agree with Rick Santorum on many of the issues. I think he's personally a nice man. I like Rick. In fact, I call him Rick. He's not Senator Santorum. He's Rick. That's not the issue. The issue is, can this man not only win the nomination, but more importantly, stand the onslaught that's going to hit him from the mainstream media and from the Obama juggernaut? And I don't see this man having the appeal, having the experience, having the resume, having the campaign and political skills necessary to unify the party and, more importantly, defeat Barack Obama. I just don't see it. In fact, my advice to him was very simple. This was years ago. I said, go back and win that seat back in Pennsylvania from Senator Casey. That's what he should be doing. I believe he's out of his league, out of his depth. And if we throw him up against Obama, if he's the supposed, quote, conservative alternative to Romney, my friends, we have just consigned America to the death knell of socialism. And I'm not willing to do that. 1-800-449-8255. What do you think of the Newt Rick alliance against Romney? I want to hear from you.
Savage.
Now
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. We'll get to your calls in just a second. But there's another story out there I just wanted to bring to the attention to all of you out there in the Savage Nation. Obama, earlier today, in Iowa, via a live feed, addressed many of his Democratic supporters. And I don't know if it was the vacation in Hawaii. I don't know, because he was gone so long. Maybe he had too good a time. Maybe he was surfing too much, ate too much shrimp, ate too much lobster, drank too much champagne. But he obviously forgot to take his Grecian formula. He was not coloring his hair. And so there's a picture now circulating out there. I don't know if you've seen it, but my sister-in-law, when she came over to our house earlier today, she said, "Jeff, have you seen this picture of Obama?" I said, "No, I haven't had a chance to look at some of my on the internet yet. I'm just reading my papers." She said, "He looks 70." Literally, she goes, "No," she goes, "I'm not kidding. He looks 70, 75 years of age. He looks like a grandfather. He looks like St. Nicholas. His hair is snow white." Now, they fixed the problem. They got the hair coloring back on and just a little touch of gray to make him seem serious, but, you know, still youngish looking. But this man has grayed immensely over the last 3 years. And what is clear is that he feels he's in over his head. He feels the crushing weight of the presidency. He realizes he's been an utter failure economically, geopolitically, socially, culturally. He is not the one. He has not brought down sea levels. He has not brought peace to the world. He has not stopped the Iranians from getting the nuclear bomb. I think what is driving this man's gray hair is that his advisors, led by Leon Panetta, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, is now coming to him. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta is coming to him with intelligence briefing after intelligence briefing, saying the mullahs are 6 months away. The mullahs are going to get the bomb. And when they get the bomb, you're going to see a major war, maybe the mother of all wars. We had World War I in 1914, nearly 100 years ago. This could be World War III. And he doesn't know what to do. He just does not know what to do. His peacenik instincts are lost. They're useless to him. His base will turn against him. He will not use military force to take out the mullahs. It goes against everything he believes in. This will not be a cakewalk like in Libya. This will be a real war with real casualties. And he does not want that. The Iranian mullahs and Ahmadinejad are serious. They're tough. They're ruthless. This is not just ordering the Navy SEALs to take out Osama bin Laden. This will mean a real military campaign. And this president is not up to the job. And I think as he's staring at the prospect of a potential nuclear holocaust and maybe nuclear Armageddon in the Middle East, as Bibi Netanyahu is calling him on the phone and saying, either you take him out or we will, because I'm telling you, we're not going to go to the gas ovens quietly this time. He doesn't know what to do. And I believe this is what's driving his gray hair. And so what do you think? Have you seen the picture? Did it shock you as much as it shocked me? What do you think is causing Obama to suddenly become like Grandpa Christmas? 1-800-449-8255. We'll go to all your calls right now. Jimmy in Reno, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. You know what? Prior to the holidays, the only candidate that was adamantly against the Detention Act was Ron Paul. That is why the ongoing dissemination of his character.
No, I think you're right. Jimmy, I know you want something else to say, but no, I think you're right, to his credit. And this to me, and I'm going to put my cards on the table, I disagree with his foreign policy completely. But I believe that Ron Paul is a genuine constitutionalist conservative. And he was the one who had the guts to expose Obama's policy and of indefinite detention, which is essentially a dictatorship. Let's not sugarcoat this in any way, shape, or form. And I believe that he's had the guts to confront Obama. And to his credit, he was the one that really led the charge against Gingrich. He is the one who has been leading the charge against a lot of hypocrites in the conservative movement and in the Republican Party. The tragedy of Ron Paul is this. He may even have been able to win the nomination had he handled foreign policy better. And here's the answer he should have gave and he didn't give. In that final debate, when the issue of the Iranian bomb came up, what Dr. Paul should have said, if he wasn't such a rabid anti-American isolationist, is he should have said, we give Israel billions of dollars every year. Israel is our closest friend and ally. I will not allow Israel to be wiped off the face of the earth. And as president of the United States, I will diplomatically back Israel's campaign to take out Iran's nuclear weapons. This is in Israel's neighborhood. Israel should take out Iran's nuclear weapons, and I will give them my full political and diplomatic backing. I will not send troops unless there is a major war, unless Israel needs our help, and even then I will go to Congress for a declaration of war. But Israel has my green light. We have a right to defend ourselves. Israel has the right to defend itself. Had he said that argument, he would have gotten a hell of a lot more evangelical voters. He would have seemed a hell of a lot more credible on foreign policy. He wouldn't come across as the kook that he now appears to many Americans. And he may have had a real shot at being the conservative alternative to Romney. But he blew it. And the only man that really understands the threat of Iran is not Newt Gingrich. It's not even Rick Santorum. Because these guys want to start bombing Iran tomorrow. It's Mitt Romney. Romney understands this fundamental reality. Iran is tottering. The mullahs are despised by their own people. We saw that even 2 years ago, in the summer of 2009, when the people of Iran rose up against their own fascist government. And the con man in the White House, that traitor in the White House, turned his back on the real pro-American, pro-democracy movement in the Middle East. He sold them down the river. But the people of Iran want this government to go. The people of Iran are against the mullahs. They don't want a nuclear bomb. So when Romney says, I'm going to take them out with massive sanctions, I'm going to support the democratic opposition, we could even defeat Iran without firing a bullet. I'm sorry, my friends, but that's presidential. That's Reagan-esque. Reagan brought down the Soviet Union without firing one shot, one bullet, one dead American. That's statesmanship. You go to war if you need to. You let the mullahs know, you keep going, we're going to bomb you to oblivion. You tell the Israelis, get your jets ready. But you don't stand there and reveal your cards beforehand. And this is why I believe Romney came across as frankly more credible, more serious, and more statesmanlike. And I believe in the end, when everything is said and done, if the Republicans and the conservatives and the independents and disaffected Democrats, if you want to take out Obama in 2012, I believe there is possibly only one man of this current field, and that's Mitt Romney. 1-800-449-8255. Nathan in Sacramento, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks. I just wanted to say I'm a Republican with strong Tea Party leanings, and I think that Mitt Romney, as it stands right now, is the most electable. And I think the important thing to remember is that in a presidential election, when you're going down the ballot as an uneducated voter, not the person that listens to talk radio and is well informed, but an uneducated voter is going to have a tendency to vote R if he's voting R for the president, and he's going to vote D if he's voting D for the president. And I think that the Tea Party and conservatives need to take that into consideration, because I think it's going to swing some of the tight Senate and House races. And, I think Mitt Romney's going to be heavily influenced by the political sway of the Senate.
Well, no, you nailed it. You nailed it. Look, here's the other thing. Everyone's going on about Mitt not being conservative enough. True, I'm much more conservative than Mitt Romney. But you have Tea Party Republicans in the House. You have Tea Party Republicans in the Senate. I believe you're going to see even more Tea Party Republicans in the House. We may even, the Republicans may even be able to take back the Senate with strong Tea Party support. So Tea Party conservatives like myself may even be in a majority dominant position in the House and in the Senate. So where's Romney going to go? He's going to go to the left against his own party? It's political suicide. Romney has never committed suicide. It's not in his background. It's not in his DNA. So I see all these right-wing talk radio hosts running up and down. They're looking for any candidate now. Now it's Rick Santorum. We got to rally around one conservative. One. We got to rally now. It's anybody but Mitt. God forbid it should be Mitt. It can't be Mitt. If it's Mitt, I'd rather have Obama. Really? You'd rather have a Marxist over a Mormon. That's what you're essentially telling me. You'd rather have a Marxist complete the destruction of this country than have a pragmatic, pro-business, pro-national security Mormon in the White House. It's insanity. These people have lost their mind. Since we now have to give up everything America has ever stood for, we have to now give up everything we've built as a nation to make a point that we don't like a Massachusetts moderate? Look, at this point, here's what we're staring at. We are staring at bankruptcy. 4 years more of this, it's over. We are staring at an Iran with a nuclear bomb. We are staring at a potential World War III. This is what's in front of us. This is 1938. This is not a time to be fickle. We don't have the luxury of these sorts of choices. This is a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-generation election. You nominate the guy that can beat the radical. You nominate the guy that can defeat this wannabe dictator. You don't stand there and start going down a checklist. Didn't support this. Not crazy about this. My friends, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Romney has problems. But compared to Gingrich, compared to Santorum, you're going to put that man up against Obama? Santorum never ran a lemonade stand. You're going to tell me he's going to run a campaign? You're going to tell me he's actually going to lead us to victory? And so I'm listening to these right-wing talk radio hosts. I only have one question. What crack pipe are they smoking? This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage.
And one more verse, let me just quote. O beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years. The patriots, the founders of this country, had a dream that was not just for their time, but was an enduring dream. It sees unto our time. I don't want to do, as the president says, to fundamentally transform America into something we might not recognize. I want to restore the principles that made America the hope of the earth.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Chris in Houston, welcome to the Savage Nation.
As I'm sitting here listening to this rhetoric that you're saying about the Republican Party backing down, you know, I don't quite understand. The Republican Party is not going to stand by and let somebody like a Marxist Obama come in and take over this country. We as the Republican Party have an obligation to the people to stand for what the patriots and what our founding fathers stood for. You know, I'm sitting here listening to this message of fear and statist comments that you guys are making. It's not right. The Iowa...
Chris, look, I don't know what fear. I'm just telling you, Chris, I'm just telling you that if these candidates continue to rip each other apart, the only thing the DNC has to do is say, don't take our word for it. Take Romney. If Romney's the nominee, he can't be trusted with the presidency. Don't take my word for it. Here's Newt Gingrich calling him a liar. Or I can just play what Michelle Bachmann said about Newt Gingrich being in the tank for Freddie Mac and that he's essentially been a lobbyist. So what they've done to each other now, and it's what the liberal media wanted to do, it's frankly what the White House wanted to do, it's what Rahm Emanuel, Valerie Jarrett, all of them told Obama to do, which is make the Republican primary process a circular firing squad. Make them just so cannibalize each other, shoot each other, tear each other apart, that essentially whoever is left standing is going to be so bloodied, so discredited, so bruised, so battered, they're going to be limping into the convention and into the general election campaign. And so that's what we've done. Congratulations. That's what the Republicans have done. And that's why I warned them, going back, I said it, all of these debates, bad idea. Trying to be the biggest talking head on cable television, bad idea. This whole process has been bungled by the Republican Party from the get-go. And I'm telling you, if Obama wins November 2012, we are going to look back at the year of 2011. Everybody's into what was 2011, what's 2012. I'll tell you what 2011 was. 2011 was the year that Republicans may have snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. After a stunning win in November 2010, we seemed like we had Obama on the ropes. Not anymore. You talk to anybody, everybody's saying it. Obama now has a 50-50 chance of winning the election. 50-50? That's 50 too much for me. And so what I'm urging everybody is this. No matter who the nominee is, they will be infinitely better than Barack Hussein Obama. It's not even a comparison. So to stand there and spit on one another and tear each other apart like this Santorum-Gingrich alliance now, this is now what we're going to do? We're basically going to say, destroy Mitt Romney, even if it means we're going to get a lightweight like Rick Santorum. So this is what the Republican Party has been reduced to. We're now literally annihilating one another. Well, I'll tell you who's laughing all the way to the bank. It's Obama. And the other one are the liberal media. Look at them. They're giddy. They're delirious. They're cracking up. They're laughing. They've never had it so good. So this is why it is very important that the conservative electorate and the conservative movement say loudly and unequivocally, we want a nominee early. We want it done swiftly. We want this primary campaign to be over because we want a winner going into 2012. My friends, the fate of the future is at stake. The fate of our country is at stake. It is now time for us to stand as one, or else, my friends, we will all be hanged separately. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. May God bless you. May God bless America. Savage.